This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Yesterday was crossover day at the state capitol. That's the day by which measures have to pass either one house or the other, or they go to sleep for a year in most cases. With us, a couple of folks who've also spent a little time at the capitol this year, our own WABE reporters, Jonathan Shapiro and Michelle Wirth. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you.
Good to be here, Dennis.
Good to be here.
Let's take a look at some things that happened in a little bit different way than we thought, first of all. We were told earlier on this is going to be a very businesslike session. We're just going to take care of housekeeping and budgets and maybe do some ethics work. But there were a couple of bills that came up unexpectedly. One, Jonathan, you covered, was a big change to Georgia's gun laws. It passed the House on crossover day, greatly expanding the list of places where you can carry a gun. This after Speaker Ralston had said at the beginning of the session, well, we're probably not going to get into big hot-button issues this year.
And Speaker Ralston said that he allowed this bill to hit the floor because he felt like the Obama administration had been overly aggressive in their
response to Sandy Hook, particularly, I guess.
Right. Basically, this bill would allow guns in places that they are currently prohibited. That includes churches, bars, government buildings, some areas of college campuses, and outside of airports. So definitely a significant ease on restrictions of gun owners. It also would allow some administrators in grade schools to be allowed to carry guns as well, administrators who receive certain training to carry those firearms in those schools.
But now the Senate has sent out some interesting signals, at least at the beginning, because now that the bill is over there, President Pro Tem David Schaefer has said, well, we've already passed a gun bill of our own, and they have, but it's very early yet. There may be some pressure to let this one sit for a year because they have another year to pass it, or there may be some pressure to get it out right away.
Yeah, I mean, it's really difficult to predict how it's going to go in the Senate at this point. We have heard some reservations expressed within the party at the beginning.
The party being the GOP.
Right. Because, like you said before, Speaker Ralston had stated repeatedly before the session that this wasn't going to be an issue that was going to be moved on this session.
Michelle, another bill that sort of went against the direction we thought was a bill that said, okay, we're going to make sure that proceeds from video games, like the kind you see in some of the gas stations and so forth and convenience stores, that would be controlled by the Georgia Lottery. But what this does in the process is also, in a way, legitimize those games that have always been in the shadows. And this after Governor Deal has said for a long time, we're not going to do anything that would expand video gaming in the state or even look like casinos. These games kind of look like casinos.
Well, sponsors say that these video gaming machines are already legal, so they say that it's not expanding gambling in the state, and they say that that's consistent with what the governor has said all along. And they say what this would do essentially is they would hook these gaming machines into a centralized system so that they would be able to see if there were machines that were operating illegally. And they really say this is needed because right now they say there are a number of gas stations where these video machines, gaming machines are, and there is essentially, like you said, a casino in the back rooms of these gas stations and convenience stores. And they say that there's millions of dollars that could potentially would have been able to go to the Hope Scholarship Program that are funneling to other places.
But did they give any idea how they'd be able to enforce making sure that these games comply with the new law if indeed it passes once it gets through?
They did talk a little bit about the enforcement, and it was very it sounded very complicated to me. they talked about how they would, you know, compare the receipts and be able to basically monitor the system. But it did sound like a very complicated system.
Another bill, Michelle, that inspired a lot of debate that you've covered very closely is the parent trigger law. This is the charter school bill, which allows parents or school administrators to petition and basically get the ball rolling on setting up a charter school. That one made it through the House and heads to the Senate, where I'm sure that battle will be joined again.
This bill is supposed to be aimed at poor performing schools. And those who support this say that a lot of times school boards don't even consider petitions by parents or schools that are concerned and want to turn their school into a charter school, a poor performing school.
So if you get like 60% of parents or administrators or staffers petitioning for a charter school, that just sort of kicks it into gear, right?
Right, and it basically makes it harder for school boards to ignore the petitioners.
So this battle will probably be rejoined once it moves over to the Senate. I'm sure the local control argument will come up. School boards and school superintendents will probably raise concerns about it. So this one's not over either.
Right, and I would especially, you know, look for people such as Jan Jones and others who have sponsored a lot of charter school legislation in the past to likely chime in on this.
She's the House Speaker pro tem from North Fulton County. Jonathan, speaking of North Fulton County, one of the issues that you've covered very closely is MARTA, big MARTA overhaul bill that passed the House in the last couple of days before crossover day. One of the things about that bill is it changes the structure of the MARTA board, giving far more representation to North Fulton County.
Yeah. It's a big restructuring of MARTA. Part of it would privatize major functions of the transit agency. It would also, in the original legislation, would have mandated employee health benefit and pension reform. Now, the sponsor of the bill, Mike Jacobs of Brookhaven, a Republican, has just in the last week conceded that the mandatory pension reform would potentially violate some federal collective bargaining rules. And that's something that he says as the bill now gets heard in the Senate, the committee meeting will probably be sometime next week. But as the bill makes its way through the Senate, there will likely be amendments to the employee benefit parts of that piece of legislation. But the core of it, the privatization of major functions of it, of MARTA, and the shifting of board appointment powers from the south side of Fulton to the north side of Fulton, those all remain, and he defended those vigorously during a public hearing last week.
We have some big battles that actually have been postponed for a year. There are some bills that didn't make it, like the creating Milton County, the idea of clearing the way for folks to create a school district in Dunwoody, the tort reform issue that Jonathan mentioned a moment ago, and possibly even some language that would establish personhood for embryos. They didn't make it for crossover day, but they could surface either in the later days as an amendment to something else, or they could turn up next year. So some of these battles could come up next year in a session that could be far livelier than this one, don't you think?
Definitely.
Yes, definitely. It's going to be an interesting next month or two of this session.
Jonathan Shapiro, Michelle Shelworth, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks.
And we'll check back with you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.